Welcome to Behind the Podium, a podcast series produced by GTS Educational Events that lets you hear what speakers are saying before or after the podium mic is turned on. Join me, your host, Jasper Appleton, to find out what makes these speakers tick and discover new insights on topics that matter to you on each episode of Behind the Podium. Welcome back to the 10th episode of Behind the Podium. I'm your host, Jasper Appleton, and with me today is Karen Rewalt. Karen is a product manager for IBM who specializes in government health and human services. Karen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Jasper, for having me.
Yeah, of course. And as a reoccurring first question here on the Behind the Podium, can you tell the listeners about what you do at IBM and what your role is?
Yeah, definitely. So as a product manager, I lead IBM's government health and human services solutions. And what we do is we help build and enhance products for social programs. We work across a functional team. So that includes developers, sales, marketing, and services. And when I refer to social programs, I'm including programs that allow people to apply for food, medical, or cash assistance. And now more than ever, you know, that's definitely been a need that citizens definitely need. And then we also meet with customers to understand how the product is being used through research. And that really helps us drive what needs to go in a product. How can we make the lives of those users better? And then looking at our product strategy and what we build into the product in 3 to 5 years. Again, focusing in on what are those market drivers that could be changing how people are working. And we know that COVID has definitely played a part in that quite a lot. And then looking at, you know, what users are using today, how we can support them in the work that they're doing. The group within IBM that I work in is IBM Watson Health. And within our group, we're specifically looking at how we solve those pressing health and human services challenges, really focusing on data, analytics, and AI. And what we're really hoping to do is to improve the lives of people, hopefully leveraging our platform and designing those unique needs for social program management.
Absolutely. And I think IBM is such an incredible company to kind of be a product manager for. What brought you to being a project manager? Product manager? Is there any personal experience in your life that made you want to pursue this kind of role?
Yeah, I think I'll maybe start with a couple because I think every experience that I've gone through in life has really kind of gotten me to where I am. And, you know, it's always interesting in terms of everybody's past and present. And I always say, you know, as I kind of look at my path, it's sort of like a jungle gym. I never know specifically where I'm going, but I know that the things that I take along with me in the journey, I'm learning, and that will help me define where I'm going in the future. And so I'll kind of start back, I guess, in elementary school when, you know, you're asked, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And at that age, I wanted to be a pediatrician. And really, because I love children, I wanted to help them in any way, in any capacity that I could. And then through going through and defining my love for basketball, I thought at one juncture I would end up in a WNBA. And I think reality hit in that was probably not the dream that I was going to pursue and really look after. But what really taught me of playing basketball was really teamwork. And that really shapes, you know, how I interact with my team and how I work with others. And through going through college and trying to figure out what career I would look into, I did start out as going the route of being a doctor, you know, pursuing that pediatrician path. And I think after my second year of organic chemistry, I realized that probably wasn't the best match for me. So I decided to continue the path of where I was majoring in economics, and that sort of led me under the business school at McIntyre at UVA. And that's where I really enjoy creating things and using code and being able to develop things that could help solve a problem. And that's where I started my career coming out of college, is really being a developer. And then as I started to go up and look at the technical world, I stayed on the technical path for about a decade and looking at development and how to solve problems, then going into being a database administrator, and then really looking at how those different components come into an overall solution. I reached a part in my career that I was then looking at, you know, do I want to stay technical, you know, all those things that I had really focused in on, or should I really bridge and start looking at more the business side as well? Because I think one of the things that I love doing is being able to talk to the customers and being able to find out what are the things that they really need, and then building a solution to really help them. And that's where I found the product management work to really be sort of a culmination of everything that I've gone through in my past that I love, helping people, you know, thinking that I was going to be a pediatrician growing up, being able to work with a team, because being a product manager really requires you to not only work within your team, but also everybody that surrounds that product, from any time that you're trying to learn and research the market to the developers that you're trying to actually now tactically go build, but then also working with our team to implement that solution or a capability for that specific customer. And then the customer aspect of it. That's one of my favorite things about being a product manager, is being able to talk to the customers, being able to understand what it is that they need. But the ultimate joy of being a product manager is knowing that you're building something that is actually helping people. And in human services, I think, you know, that is a huge part of the why. And that's really kind of what took me in the journey and where I am today as a product manager.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like you've had to pivot a lot, but you've always moved forward. And with COVID forcing a lot of governments to pivot, with your experience at IBM, how has COVID changed things for government agencies and their priorities?
Yeah, so it's changed quite a bit. And as you, if you take your own personal lives, I think everyone's personal lives has changed. And you know, the social programs are really a safety net for all society. And they're really facing incredible strain right now. And so government agencies are definitely looking at how do they really prioritize and how do they set those things forward. I mean, some of the statistics around food insecurity and things are really just astronomical right now, with about 10% of all adults, about 24 million, that are seeking more security around food. And then even housing. So as we look at the housing market, you know, one in six adults are behind on the rent payments, and the households with children are even more impacted with this. And so as we look at talking with state CIOs and looking at, you know, what kind of things they are really prioritizing, it's great to see that they are putting the citizens and the people that they're serving at the forefront. And they are making prioritizations around what are those key things that they really need to focus in on, understanding that they are highly constrained on their budget, that they need to be able to provide for these citizens and in a very timely manner. So things that projects and other things that may have taken years to get built and developed and then delivered, they're now looking at, can they do this in weeks and months to really get the benefits and things that those citizens need. And so as we have those discussions, we really look at, you know, how do they plan and operate in this time of uncertainty and the rapidly changing market conditions and what we're looking at. And I'll give you an example of when the federal government's in Canada, the employment and social development in Canada, they created a multi-benefit delivery system. And it was designed to deliver benefits around three programs, one around the working income group. And then that was a prototype that they were able to create and delivered in 2 weeks to the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada during this state of emergency. And then the work, in addition to not only being able to find programs that are specifically needed right now, but looking longer term and more strategic of how do they continue that multi-year transformation that really includes more of an overhaul of other benefit platforms and really accelerate toward digital government. And cloud is definitely one of that part as part of their story, because not only were they able to deliver that prototype in a couple of weeks, but as they think about how they're going to transform and bring those benefits really to light, they're thinking about how to do that in an agile manner, but also in a secure manner as they deliver these programs to the citizens. The one other example that I also do want to call out is that the Scottish government is doing some amazing things with how to bring benefits out. And they're really leading the pathway of not only cloud transformation, but around change management as they look at how they're working in a DevOps environment and how they're leveraging to bring out the capabilities out to their citizens in a way that is really effective, but continuously building and accelerating delivery. The agency has successfully launched seven new benefits, including money to help parents at key stages in their children's lives, funeral support payments, and support for teens that are caring for anyone that's receiving a disability payment. So we've really seen some innovative ways that governments have had to pivot and to address the needs of citizens, but really focusing in on the priority of who they're serving.
Right. And with a company like IBM as well, with these governments now focusing on kind of these immediate plans to fight COVID, how do you have these conversations with government agencies on priorities and technologies like the cloud? Because that's also too really, really important, especially coming up as the cloud is inevitably going to be kind of built into our infrastructure. We had Jessica Matthews on here on the last episode, and she really talked about how she wants to change the infrastructure to support technologies like the cloud. So how is it selling that conversation to these government agencies?
Yeah, the main key topic that we've been really focused in on is, you know, who are the users that they're really helping and what is the value that they're looking to drive for those specific users. So around the way that we think and how we work with our customers, we really apply a design thinking type of methodology to the work that we're doing. So we understand how time constrained these government agencies are. They're working on things that are really pressing at the moment. And so our conversations and our discussions with them really need to be focused and really need to be evaluating how and what priorities they should be focused in on. And the best way that we've really seen that is looking at how we talk about who are the users that they are really needing to help at the immediate timeframe? And then what is the value that they're looking and what are those things that they really need to solve for? So by able to having a discussion around those key areas, we're able to focus on, well, what are then the technology that's going to help them bring those capabilities and things that the citizens need the most? And so when we start looking at peeling back the layers of, okay, what do we need to do? We need to do something very quickly. We need to bring in potentially like a new program. In Clark County, Nevada, they had to stand up a new program to really help alleviate the rental and housing assistance for individuals that have been impacted with COVID. And one of their key things that they were looking at is that they really needed to be able to provide a digital front end to be able to give citizens a way to apply for this benefit, given that they're remote now. But also, they also needed a chatbot to help these citizens understand what these benefits are that they may qualify for, because we're now seeing an influx of citizens who weren't eligible for benefits before now come through the door. And so we were focused in on, okay, how do we get the program out very quickly? How do we define a digital front end to create that trust between government and citizen? And then how do we scale? So the discussion about how we scale to the demands that may go up and down depending on the economy, depending on the job situation for those citizens. And then how do we keep it secure? How do we keep the interactions of the information that's being provided on these benefit applications really secure? So we start with the business problem, who the users are, and then we really define, you know, what are the technology that support these different initiatives that the governments are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds to me like there are a lot of reasons why the governments, these government agencies, should be moving to technologies like the cloud. What are some of those reasons? And if there are some government agencies that are a little bit hesitant that maybe listen to this, what are some of the reasons why they should be moving to them?
Yeah, I think I touched a little bit on this, Jasper, as I was giving some of these examples, but the key drivers that we hear that government agencies are really moving to cloud is for the greater cost efficiency. So cloud computing enables you to pay for the capacity you need when you need it. And cloud also eliminates the ongoing expense of purchasing, housing, maintaining, and managing that infrastructure on-premise. And that's really one of the big drivers, especially during COVID, that we've seen government agencies really look at it. Their budgets are highly constrained and they're really looking at how they can still deliver capabilities out to help solve for these problems. And then coupled with that is also how do we get to market at a faster time and really speed that agility up? So when you look at let's say standing up a development environment to test out whether this capability is going to be able to, that you can actually bring out, you're able to bring up and spin up a server in minutes. And so that ability to be able to bring not only things to market, but starting with a development environment, then standing up a test environment, and then that helps you push through the capabilities all the way out to the citizen in a much faster time frame that will take you ideally weeks rather than months or years that you might have done on with an on-premise architecture. The part that also is a key driver is that scalability and elasticity because of the demand that's going on. Like we've seen where in the past when disasters such as natural forces have really come to play, like hurricane season and some of the states being affected by that, that elasticity and scalability have really been a key factor of why we're starting to see government agencies move to the cloud even more to be able to take on that demand and not have the citizen experience really frustrating experiences of, oh, the system is down and you can't apply and you have to really wait and then figure out when is it that I can apply. So that demand of being able to serve the citizen there, I think is gonna be really critical. And I think the last factor that I'll just bring up is around security. Now more than ever with the digital transformation, security really needs to be at the forefront of what government agencies are thinking about and being able not only to respond to that demand, but having that security that's offered by the cloud service providers that really will help keep the infrastructure and everything safe, but also keep up with the demand of what kind of security that's needed on an ongoing basis is really another key factor that government agencies are moving to cloud.
Now, looking at a more personal level, because we always like to give these speakers a little chance to kind of tell their own personal experience. How has COVID changed your job in specific? Do you prefer working remotely as a more public face, or has there been challenges you faced working in a world trying to stay 6 feet apart?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of learning experience to say the least. I was actually working mostly remotely before COVID had happened, but I also wasn't managing a distance learning program that my daughter was going through for elementary school and be able to juggle the other parts of it. So I definitely have a visitor on my virtual web meetings a lot, and being able to balance the focus and also helping my daughter for school has, you know, definitely been one of those challenges, but it's also been one of those silver linings of being able to see her and be part of her day more so, which has been a lot of fun. But it also brings up other challenges around work in terms of, by nature, I'm much more of an introvert. And without the social interactions being 6 feet apart, you sometimes, for me at least, I lose that aspect of, you know, that socialization that kind of has been bringing me out of my introvert shell. And so, you know, it's practicing and trying to figure out how we virtually socialize now. And even as we do speaking engagements and leadership engagements, we're trying to figure out different ways to engage with the audience. And, you know, one of the challenges, I think, being behind a virtual screen is in person, when you're speaking, you can really see the reaction of the audience and you can kind of tailor your content to really drive, okay, that's making sense. I'm going to, you know, fill in more there, or it's not making sense at all. I mean, in the COVID world, I'm really guessing whether it's making sense or not. And I'm almost assuming that it is. And, you know, that part makes me, you know, a part that misses doing speaking sessions in person and being able to socialize and really interact with people at a much more personal level.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm also a person who really relies on nonverbal communication to see how, just kind of like gauge how I'm doing with my own performance. So I definitely understand that as well, but that is all the questions that I have for you today. As the great Sean Evans would say, there's nothing left to do but roll out the red carpet for you. So please take the next 30 seconds to a minute to promote whatever you have going on in your life there at IBM or anything that you have coming up.
Thank you so much, Jasper. So yeah, we're really excited for IBM Social Program Management. We just announced that we have our social program management solution now running on OpenShift, and that really allows social program management to be now consistent in a container management platform on any cloud provider. And you really also get not only the cloud provider aspect of no cloud lock-in, but you also get industry-leading network detection and security management tooling across your enterprise. And as we see the future really evolving for states, we do see a very strong hybrid cloud architecture being present. And where states are, we know, already adopting a multi-cloud environment, you know, IT budgets are really going to be often like capital expenditure intensive, and cloud is normally paid on a consumption basis or operational expenditure basis. So cloud is a service and expense, and it doesn't necessarily comply with accounting rules to be classified as a capital asset. So as states are thinking about how they're going to be moving to cloud, we know that this is going to be a journey for them, and we want to meet them where they are in that journey, and especially around where legacy workloads are going to require significant refactoring to function in the cloud. This is where, you know, we are highly educated and subject matter experts really help drive how do we move those workloads to cloud, what's the best priority for the states to do that, and helping them plan and really think about how they would migrate and upgrade to the cloud. So we're really excited about that, and we're excited to talk about the cloud journey with our customers, whether they're just learning the cloud ABCs or starting to move those workloads to cloud and making it more cloud native or more efficient. And you know, we're the leading provider in providing the most cloud-friendly choice for our customers. So I think I'll just leave it at that, Jasper, and welcome our audience to come visit us at our website at ibm.com/gov/HHS. And then happy for the listeners to follow me as well as we continue our cloud journey.
Absolutely. As the world continues to try and catch up to our own infrastructure needs, cloud will be a very useful tool, and IBM is there every step of the way with you. Karen, again, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. The links to her socials will be in the description below, as always. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Jasper.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Podium, a podcast by GTS Educational Events. Visit our website, mngts.org, for the full lineup of podcasts and to learn about all the exciting events we have coming up.